G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out on the past weekend and enjoyed local pro wrestling. I was at Venom Pro Wrestling, and we had quite a good night. Jackson Cross won the Venom Pro Wrestling Championship, so congratulations to Jackson. It was a good night all up, apart from fans threatening to kill me, but you know, you get that when you're a bad guy, I guess. this week on the podcast, we have a very special guest. He is the general manager of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Michael Craven. We talk about all stuff to do with New Japan, not only just the tour coming up, but also what it takes to get into New Japan, to what they're looking for when they're looking for what they call young boys and to enter the dojo and all of that good stuff. But before I get into that, I just want to do a little bit of I don't know if I would call it housekeeping or what I'd call it, but we talk about wrestling and we talk about everyone being a family and that sort of deal. And I think wrestling podcasts should be no different when it comes to that sort of deal. And I've seen stuff lately where, like, dude, guys, we're not Dave Meltzer over here. We don't have to scoop people out of stuff. I mean, just run your normal stuff, and it's going to be good. If your stuff's good enough, the people will come and listen to it. And then that's all I'm going to say on that. And let's move on, because Michael Craven did a lot of podcasts this week, and which is good. It's good that these guys all get a chance, and we all get a chance to talk to someone in the spot that Michael Craven is in. And we will hear all about that. And of course, his time at Melbourne City Wrestling and also at PWA this past weekend. We'll hear about all of that right after Where the Action Is, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. It's now time for Where the Action Is around the country. And as always, we start in Victoria. On Saturday night, PCW have their local or regular Ignition show, should I say, at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre in Ferntree Gully. Tickets for that one are at pcw.com.au. MCW, of course, are running this weekend as well for the war to settle the score at the Thornbury Theatre. Slex and Seb Costello versus Gino Gambino and Sebastian Walker in the main event for that one. Also, match on the card, the Brat Pack defend their MCW tag team titles against the Pariah. Now, if you've listened to this show regularly, I've talked about the Pariah, I've interviewed the Pariah. They are one of the best up-and-coming young tag teams out of Riot City Wrestling in Adelaide. If you guys haven't seen him in Victoria, get out to MCW and see him this weekend. They are an awesome show. In New South Wales on Saturday night, Newcastle Pro Wrestling are at Club Maitland City. Caveman Ugg versus Matt Rogers in a non-title match in there for the Newcastle Pro Wrestling. Tickets for that one are at newcastleprowrestling.com.au. In Perth on Friday night at NHPW, Vision 3 Invasion at the Vision Studios in Perth. Soraya Knight and Aaron O'Malley are on the card. Tickets for that one are at ecwid.com. That address again is ecwid.com. There is nothing going on in Adelaide this weekend, but in Queensland, to wrap things up, there is a double header on Friday night. If you're on the Sunshine Coast, UPW have Tag Team Turmoil. This is a tournament night for the first ever UPW Tag Team Champions. Tickets for that one are at stickytickets.com.au. And I will be at AWA Mayhem on Friday night at the Kedron Wavell Services Club in the Kitty Hawk Room. That is at Chermside. Tim Cade challenges my boy Jake Nova for the AWA Championship, 2 out of 3 falls. This is a match, well, it's two of the best in Queensland, quite frankly. And over the last 5 years, these two have been the best in Queensland, and they will do battle 2 out of 3 falls for the AWA Championship. I can't wait to actually be ringside to see that match. Also, the Divine Darkness defend their AWA Tag Team titles against the Retro Bros. You can get your tickets for that one at eventfinder.com.au. That is, of course, on Friday night for both of those shows. And that is where the action is this weekend. Any promotions that want their shows mentioned here on Where the Action Is, hit us up on Facebook or email me at WrestleRadioAustralia Todd at gmail.com, and we'll mention you on an upcoming episode, or book me and I will definitely mention it, because I am an absolute shill for myself. And that is where the action is this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of
I have the very special pleasure of being joined here today by the general manager of the biggest wrestling promotion in the world, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Michael Craven. Thank you for joining me today, Pat.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
What brings you to Australia to start with?
Two shows and two events, actually. We have an event in Melbourne on June 29th at the Festival Hall, and a secondary event in Sydney on June 30th. And what originally brought me here was a long journey. Maybe a little bit later.
Yeah. I noticed you were at PWA on Saturday, on Friday night. What was that like being at Max Watts with those guys?
Outstanding. Really, honestly, I got to see Caveman Ugg, one of my favorite local talents. I was able to see the main event, which I enjoyed very, very much. It was a very good vibe, very good audience, very hot audience. I think the Australian audience is famous for making a lot of noise and cheering their favorite wrestlers.
Yeah, you must have almost been biting your nails during that five-way match, just because it was so everywhere, just that Robbie didn't get injured before the Super Juniors tournament.
There's a story about that, actually. I was telling Robbie, well, you know, I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to cut a promo. How does this sound, Robbie? Your match is canceled because you can no longer wrestle anywhere except for the Super Juniors, because I'm too scared you're going to get injured. But maybe that wouldn't have gone over so well with the fans.
No, possibly not. Maybe booed out of the building might have been close to...
No, actually, I was terrified of that match because they're doing a lot of high spots. It's just showing the athleticism of local talent.
Yeah, exactly. Especially that balcony dive. That was insane.
It was really insane, actually. And to be there live, I haven't seen anything like that except in Yokohama when Ibushi did the same moves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How did you actually get involved in New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I've been a lifelong fan since the late 1970s, actually. My father used to come to Japan as an investment banker. He was working with Bank of Canada, and he would record New Japan Pro Wrestling and bring it back to his four sons so we can enjoy it.
Oh, so you like early tape trader.
Very, very early tape trader, because by the time I was 12, I realized that everybody wanted to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, but nobody had any of the tapes. But I had a whole library. My father coming back and forth. So I started trading locally within Canada, and somehow my tapes, I've seen some of the recordings, because I can recognize this recording because I've watched it so many times on YouTube. Some of the older videos are actually videos that my father recorded for me when I was a boy.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Just please don't tell New Japan that, because TVS, he patrols the YouTube channels and they take down all this stuff. So this is a secret.
So were you always a fan of that Puro style, or was it... Did you like the Western style, and your dad sort of introduced you to that style, or?
Well, I started watching New Japan Pro Wrestling when I was 4 years old. So, being a Canadian, I'm a fan of New Japan style, Stampede wrestling style, Maple Leaf wrestling style, were the styles that I always watched. I also enjoyed watching AWA. It's kind of sad because a lot of the promotions that I'm talking about now no longer exist, but the styles all were very similar to New Japan style. Because they're the styles that allow the wrestlers to express themselves in the ring as they want to wrestle.
Yeah, well,
how they're told, tone it back, or don't do this, or don't do that.
Yeah, well, there were a few guys that wrestled, like AWA and that sort of thing, that didn't end up going to New Japan on tours.
Of course, of course. Well, if you look at my favorite wrestler is actually Rick Martel. Reason is my mother's French-Canadian, and every boy needs a hero. And the way I look at pro wrestlers is they're living superheroes. And Rick Martel in the AWA was just outstanding. His mat work was just incredible.
Yeah.
And then when he joined WWE, he wasn't allowed to work the way that he was working in AWA.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate that he got put in the spot he got put in AWA when AWA was sort of on its way out, so he never really got the platform to perform that he could have had.
And then he was I can't say he was misused because he's famous. Everybody knows Rick Martel from Canada or America. He was very good wherever he was, as a babyface or as a heel. He could work either way, but his in-ring talent only could shine if you saw him in Maple Leaf Wrestling or if you saw him live Stampede Wrestling. These are the places where he could wrestle as he wanted to or as he should.
But that
shows athleticism.
That's the same with... I find that's the same with everything. Like, even the New Japan, not so much, but with the stuff that's in America and that, you often find the house shows and that are better wrestling because they don't have those time constraints of hard outs and commercials and all of that sort of stuff. They can just do what they sort of want to do.
Agreed. You know, I believe this. A wrestler is like an artist, and the ring is the form that they put their expression. And if you put a time limit, say, hey, you can't do this, and by the way, if you've only got 10 minutes to do it, it's really restricting the talent and really affecting what the fans get to see as a product.
Yeah, exactly. I always say, because I do a little bit of booking and that sort of stuff up here, I always say, like, this is what I want. You just tell the story. Whatever story you want to tell, as long as it gets to the outcome that I'd like, I'm fine with.
Yeah, see, with me, with New Japan, we're such a big company that the book is the book. That's our church. I don't know what they do. I don't want to know what they do because my job is the business side.
Yep.
So I can look at the product still with a same eyes as a fan and say, oh, wow, we did this? Oh, wow, the story's going this way? Because I always find part of the fun of wrestling is not knowing the outcomes, not knowing what's going to happen, and not being able to predict what's going to happen. For example, just recently, Chris Jericho popping up. It's like, what? Really? How?
You must be very pleased with the way fans in Australia have taken to New Japan, especially on the first tour. Like, how important is Australia to your sort of global expansion plans?
Well, very honestly, how important Australia is everybody uses the word global expansion plans. We don't really have a plan. What we want is to give everybody a chance to see New Japan live and have that experience. So when I first joined New Japan, I'm part of the international division. I created the international division, and I'm responsible for all English content. And the first thing I was told by the president was, where do you want to expand New Japan to? And then I had to make a plan. We call it making a deck.
Yep.
I made a proposal, and my initial plan was England. Until a certain member of our roster, Mr. Bad Luck Fale, said to me, hey, Michael-san, you know, you've got to go to New Zealand. You've got to see my dojo. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. Happily. You're one of our partners. Love to see your dojo. He said, by the way, there's something secret, something hidden that nobody knows about. I said, what's that? He said, Australia. He said, you've got to see it with your own eyes. You've got to see the talent. You've got to see the fans. Because I think that you're going to really like this area. And after that conversation with him, I went to a promotion called Melbourne City Wrestling. I saw one of their shows. And I've been going back and forth to watching different live shows in Australia. And I think there's something really, really special here. And I decided that we really need to start running shows here as full New Japan shows. And giving the fans a chance to see New Japan Pro Wrestling live with the full experience. And what I mean by full experience is our referees, our announcers. Our upcoming show, we'll have Red Shoes at the show.
Oh.
Everybody knows what Red Shoes
is. Yeah, I love Red Shoes.
Yeah. We want to get the full experience. And it's not really looking at, we want to be in a territory and dominate an area. We want the fans to be able to enjoy New Japan Pro Wrestling as Japanese enjoy the product. So the way we can do that is, instead of using just World as our only platform, to give fans a chance to see live. And then if the fans enjoy it, it means more shows that we'll do in the future. It means that we will start touring more in different areas. A lot of people think all roads lead to America for pro wrestling, but actually I'm the exact opposite mindset. I'm from Canada. I grew up with Stampede Wrestling. I remember how great that was.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that everywhere has a local scene that the fans should be supporting. And how to give exposure to that local scene is also very important, critical for any wrestling promotion.
Exactly. You sort of want to help enhance the local scene because that just makes your product stronger in the end anyway.
Well, the thing is, we need a local product wherever we go, because it means that there's also talent that one day will be developed that can come to New Japan.
Yeah. Are there any plans for a New Japan style dojo like they have in America now, and the Fale dojo is pretty much a New Japan sort of dojo because it's the same style that they do. Are there any plans of doing that sort of thing in Australia, or is it more that New Zealand would be the base?
A lot of people think that we need a dojo in an area, but the one thing that we don't like is a dojo in the area, because if you're training New Japan style in Melbourne, let's say, you're going to go home afterwards. You're going to live your regular life. You're not really training at that point. What we prefer is people to come to one of our dojos, such as Fale's dojo, for example, and learning away from all the influences, outside influences of your regular day life or from your atmosphere. The real New Japan Dojo in Japan is you are isolated for the first 8 months of your training. You do not have any contact to the outside world. You cannot phone your parents. You cannot go out. You are only locked in a building, just learning how to respect people. Then after that's done, then the actual training starts, if the person is mentally strong enough to go through the training. So Fale Dojo is a very similar system. And the reason why we would not have a dojo in Australia is because we feel that Fale's dojo fills that need. And we have the LA dojo as well.
Mm.
We would prefer people to be away from their culture and focus only on their training to build the mental discipline and mental strength needed for New Japan.
Yeah, because I was only just watching one of the War of the Worlds. I think it was the first night today, actually. And the young guys that are coming out of that dojo in LA look really, really good.
Because all they do is train.
Yeah.
It's all about mental strength also too. We want people to focus on the craft, learning the craft 24/7. That's all they're doing right now. And that's something New Japan is very good at, is developing our own talent. Whether they become a star or not, that's all up to them. But what we will do is give them all the tools that they need and all the advice that they need to get to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. How much do you scout Australian talent to join New Japan, like you had with Robbie Eagles that is pretty much joined New Japan now? How much do you scout the actual local scene?
We're watching everybody. But the thing is, what we need people to do first is, there's a couple of things we look for. One is how somebody presents themselves is very, very important, be it on social media or just as a person. Two, we look at the in-ring talent and how are they developing themselves in-ring. I can give you an example of a tag team, and I won't say their name right now, but the first time I met them, they were developing, let's just say that much.
Yep.
But Fale-san gave them some in-ring advice, and they started to implement this advice. And now this is the third time I'm in Australia, and I've seen a vast improvement on this tag team. So I would say we are scouting all markets. We're looking everywhere for talent. But the one key point is what we want, though, is to make sure that the talent is at the same caliber as New Japan. And the talent's willing to grow, learn, study the craft first, which is very, very important. What I'd recommend for talent, if they are interested in New Japan Pro Wrestling, is to go to Fale's Dojo first. Because that's when you really know if you really have... I'm guessing looking for the words mental strength.
Yeah, the aptitude.
And the attitude, the respect to be in a New Japan ring. It's easy to be a star. I've seen a lot of Americans who are stars, but to go into a New Japan ring, it's more than just ability or moves. It's, again, the discipline, the respect, the willingness to learn.
Yeah, and it's almost harder today with the way that society is today, that old school discipline and mentality being held up. It seems to be harder for the younger guys to grasp what the older guys went through to do that.
For the Japanese talent, no. For the Japanese talent, they know what they're getting into, because they know at the end they'll have all the tools that they need to become a star. They don't expect us to make them a star. They just know that they'll have all the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
The foreign talent, we really carefully check. Again, that's why I say social media is so critical, because it's a way that we can see somebody's personality.
Yep.
When we choose foreign talent, if you look at the LA Dojo boys, for example, or I like to call them the Blue-Eyed Lions, if you look at them, you can all see that they have a certain mental toughness already. They have a certain seriousness. They're young. They're young guys, but they're stripping themselves down to the basics to be rebuilt. and to be rebuilt as somebody that they see New Japan could view as an asset for a company in the future.
Yeah, yeah. That, well, that's brilliant. What are the chances of, because you said you're bringing everything down to Australia for this new tour, what are the chances of the championships being defended on the tour?
I'm bringing red shoes. It means something special.
Yeah.
I can't say anything about the book because I'm not the book, but if you look at any bout where we've ever had belts changed, red shoes is always the referee for a title match. What I can say about the shows is this is after Dominion. And after Dominion and before the G1, our book very carefully wanted to do something for Australia that's very special. This is part of our storylines. These two shows are very, very significant for leading into the G1 and also finishing up Dominion. And because we haven't announced the marquee star yet, and we have Okada on the card, and I'm saying there's somebody better than Okada who's going to be coming. That's kind of critical right there because it depends the outcomes of a lot of matches in Dominion.
Yeah, okay.
And the other thing also, too, that fans don't realize is, yes, I'm heavily advertising the Bullet Club right now, but there's a reason, because somebody's going to come of equal importance that's going to fight all of the Bullet Club members.
Oof.
And everybody is going to be top-level talent, but I just, again, there's only so much I can reveal right now because it hasn't played out yet in the show yet.
Yeah, so that means being that it's an important part of Dominion leading into G1, so these will be on New Japan World.
Yes, they will. Right now, we're in discussions. We're in discussions for live stream right now. So the first show will definitely be live streamed. That's something I can guarantee. And the first show is something that's going to be very, very important. The second show is the follow-up. Kind of the fallout, is one might say.
Yeah.
And it's also equally important because, again, there's going to be things that happen in these two shows that leading into the G1, people are going to want to see, want to know. And I'm hoping by doing something special for Australia, it's going to start putting more eyes on Australia also too, saying, wow, stuff happens when we do overseas shows. Every show you can't miss.
Yeah, and that's really important nowadays. You have to make it almost your product. Make it though you can't miss a show, otherwise you're going to miss something that's important or something really good going to happen.
Well, this show, I can say there's going to be the Melbourne show. I'm just trying to think right now, going through my mental notes. There will be something that it's never happened before in a foreign country.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's very significant right there.
Mm.
And we've chosen the card, the full card that I know. I consider the card better than any American show that I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of different cards with lots of great performers on the cards, but I would say this is the show of the summer.
Wow, wow. You've got this year one of the G1 tournament days being held in America. Is that something you'd look to do in other countries as well for, say, next year's tournaments or say it's another tournament?
For the G1, it's all about the turnout. So if the Melbourne show is a success and the Sydney show is a success, we're very, very open to doing a G1 opener in Australia.
Wow.
We're very open to do any of our events in Australia. But again, it all depends on the fans. If the fans show up, we will do anything here for the fans. Because, again, we're a global brand.
Mm.
All roads don't lead to America. All roads lead to the world, is the way we like to think.
Yeah. You must be blown away just by the amount of the last couple of years, especially, just the amount of international tickets you sell for Wrestle Kingdom. It's really turned into a, I would say, bigger than WrestleMania. In my the way I watch wrestling, I find it a more important show to watch than a WrestleMania because it just, there's so much happening and it's, the action is so much more.
Well, last year I can say this, we had about last year we had 1,000 fans from Australia attend out of 6,000 foreign fans.
Wow.
And the only way that we knew that we had foreign fans was we were just really looking at, okay, this person has blonde hair, blue eyes. This person has brown hair, green eyes. So we didn't even take into consideration any of our Asian fans.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty hard to tell the Asian or the Japanese or... So we counted 6,000 fans at the gate. And then later we found out we had about 1,000 Australian fans who came in just for Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, that's huge when you think about it, isn't it?
It is. It shows that there's a growing wrestling scene here. Now, I understand that the history of pro wrestling in Australia was a little bit tainted back in the early 2000s because of one match where there was blood where there shouldn't have been blood. But I've seen now that the Australian wrestling industry has changed so much and is growing. And I see that now in the audience, I'm seeing a lot of women, a lot of females in the audience. I've seen at some shows children. Mm. So how to grow that product now locally is very, very important, very, very critical.
Well, I know, and just speaking for myself, my wife can't stand how much wrestling I watch because I watch because I watch everything. But she will sit down with me and watch New Japan because she finds it more more realistic sport. If that's a way to say it, she actually enjoys it a lot more because, like she said to me, she goes, "This looks like it's an actual thing. It doesn't look like it's not." Do you know what? I don't know if I'm explaining it right. It looks like a real athletic contest. There we go.
Well, that's what we are. We are a sport. And that's how Japanese view New Japan Pro Wrestling. We aren't entertainment. We are a sport. We present our product as a sport. You don't see the storylines of some promotions that don't make sense. You have people who want to fight to be champion. People who want to show their athleticism for the fans. It's given us a lot of credibility in Japan because if you look at our fan base, we have 40% of our audience are female, 10% are children, and then 50% are just a mixture of everybody else. Mm. If I go to a wrestling event in America, I'd say 80% of the audience are males. And it shows that people want to see the athleticism, the sport, and they can enjoy the live sport. Whereas the backstage antics, if you go live, you don't really get to see that. You see it on a Titantron.
Yeah,
something that you don't. You can miss it because you can see it at home, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. When you took over the international branch of New Japan sort of thing, bringing in
I want to correct you on that. Sorry. I didn't take over. I created.
Oh, sorry. When you created it, yes.
there was no international division before. There was nobody controlling English content because New Japan. We make our bread and butter in Japan, essentially. So nobody ever really had the vision to grow outside of Japan. And it got to the point where Bushiroad's owner, Kidani-san, said, we really need to get this out to the fans. We really need to give the fans more. So when the president, our new president, started, they decided that they would create an international division. And I was hired to create the international division from scratch.
Mm. So have you seen a large jump saying subscribers to New Japan World since you brought in the English commentary? I was a subscriber before, but half the time I would watch the shows on mute and listen to a podcast while I was doing it because I don't understand any of the unless I've got my mate that was with me that can speak Japanese, I was completely lost.
Well, what I've seen is, I'll give you an example, just some solid numbers. I've doubled the YouTube channel. I've over doubled the YouTube channel because of new English content. The world numbers, I can't actually say our actual numbers, but we are up, I'd say, by 60 to 70% for foreign subscribers because of the new English content. I think it's something that the product desperately needed, and I think it's something that enhances the product to get the same experience, but just translated into English.
Yes.
We're very fortunate to have color commentators, commentators such as Kevin Kelly. We've recently created history, actually, by using Gino Gambino, who is the first Australian-born commentator for a major promotion. Nobody's ever done that before from Australia.
Yes.
So, again, showing the importance of our brand. Somebody from my division heard his voice, and he said, this voice is smooth like silk. It's like honey and brandy mixed.
Don't start on that. That's all he needs to hear.
One of my team members, not myself... I'm still waiting for my Canadian voice, but I haven't gotten the Canadian voice yet.
Well, you had Don Callis.
Oh, Don's Don, though. Don's international.
Yeah, true.
I know Don's going to be... I think Don's back for Dominion, actually.
Yeah. I do really enjoy when... The thing I did love when Carino was doing the commentary and when you've got Chris Charlton on there is that he will... When they translate the promos, is that something you're looking more into doing?
Well... Ultimately, that's something I enjoy having Chris on, because Chris is so good at it, so smooth at it.
Mm.
I do have, if you've noticed, you've heard some different names doing translation from time to time, because I've tried out some of my team members. Tom Partridge, you've heard Tom Partridge on commentary. He's actually part of my international division. Daijiro, or sometimes he calls himself David, he does the translations as well when Chris isn't available. A lot of people forget that Chris does have another job. And Chris has small children also too, so he needs time with his family. And Chris also likes watching wrestling, not just doing commentary.
Yeah, I think it just adds that extra little thing, because I'm a manager, so when we're actually on shows, I do manager stuff. And so the thing I love is I love listening to promos. I love listening to how the guys tell that story before telling the story in the ring. And to have that extra added function of you translating that now just adds something even more to the show and brings out the character of the actual wrestler more.
Well, that's where I'm also experimenting with different people for the translations. For example, Tom Partridge, again, another Brit, he does a very good job. And the reason he does a very good job is he is a native speaker of English, but his Japanese is so fluent that as he's hearing, he's not even really translating the Japanese in his head. He's just outputting it back in English because he's so used to hearing these words.
Yeah.
Chris, I'd love to do it myself, but unfortunately, again, as I've used the words before, maybe with you, church and state, the talent, that's the church, the office, we're the state. And I don't touch that side at all. I'd also be a little bit scared because I see what the talent does when they come out to some of the rest, some of the announcers.
Yeah. Suzuki, you might want
to. Yeah, I might have a big target on me. I don't know, being general manager. But I also notice that Chris always loses his water gets dumped. So I imagine it would be interesting if I was on commentary.
Mm. Especially if you didn't tell them that you were actually going to do it and they walked out and caught you side eyes.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm so scared, actually.
Would you consider a formal partnership with an Australian promotion like you have in America sort of thing with ROH?
We would. We'd be open to it. But the thing is, it would have to be something that makes sense to us.
Yep.
Because if we do any formal partnership, we have to make sure that the wrestling style matches our promotion, which is most important.
Yes.
That's why we have partnerships with Rev Pro, OTT, CMLL, ROH, of course. We're very loyal to our partners. So it doesn't matter what the situation is with our partner. As long as our partner's product can match our product, we understand that every promotion goes through highs and lows. When our partner goes low, we're going to stick with them because we know one day that they'll get back up high.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I know that that ROH copped a lot of flack off that,
yes,
the G1s, and I think I'm thinking around the same lines as you. They're almost in a rebuilding phase at the moment, and every time they've done it, they've come out with gold, so I can't see them changing that style.
Well, again, it goes back to Japanese mentality. Loyalty is so important. Respect is so important. If somebody's starting to fall down, you just don't kick them to the curb. You try to say, well, how can we help you as partners to bring you back up?
Hmm.
So you'll notice with ROH right now, you'll see more New Japan's talent there. It's a way of helping them because they've helped us when we've needed help. So kind of a give and take relationship.
Yeah, and that's what a partnership is supposed to be like, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Michael Craven, thank you so very much for coming on and chatting to us.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, is there any way that you want people, anything you want people to follow to get, how they can get tickets to the upcoming shows? Because these will sell out if they don't get in quick enough to get them.
If they just check out our homepage, I would recommend to check out our homepage. All the information is there. Or follow us on our Twitter account, NJPW Global, or on our Facebook account. Would be the best ways to find out what's happening. We will be announcing meet and greets very, very soon. And the meet and greets will include people that have never been to Australia before. And we will be announcing more of the card very, very soon. But again, unfortunately, I'm limited because we have to see the stories fall into place first before we can announce the bigger stars.
Exactly. Michael Craven, thank you very much for joining me, sir.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Some people say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises? Or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
Okay, that does it for this week on Wrestle Radio Australia. Once again, big thanks to my guest, our New Japan Pro Wrestling's general manager, Michael Craven, and also big thank you to Gino Gambino for helping set that up. Of course, Gino Gambino is the color commentator for New Japan Pro Wrestling on New Japan World for the English portion of that website. Does an awesome job. Is put years and years, I reckon, on his career now, just having that extra string to his bow with color commentary. If you haven't already, guys, but make sure you subscribe to WrestleRate Australia. It's free. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show. Spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook and just search out WrestleRadio Australia for that one. And on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU and on Instagram at WrestleRadioAU or me personally at BeastEastman on Twitter. We have our WrestleRadio Australia shirts on Redbubble.com. Just go to the search bar in Redbubble.com and just type out WRA or WrestleRadio Australia and you'll see them. Anything you want, you can get coffee cups, shirts, hoodies, you name it. Nowadays, Redbubble put it on a t-shirt for you. All proceeds that go from the sales of WrestleRadio Australia merch, anything to do with WrestleRadio Australia that we sell, proceeds for that go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that we are very, very much in support of here at WrestleRadio Australia. Gotcha for Life, I say this every week. They do amazing stuff when it goes to, they come to talk to schools. They go to schools. I'll say this if it kills me. They go to schools. And then they talk to young men and tell them that it's okay to share your feelings. And if you're feeling down, to talk about it. And it's not a sign of weakness if you have to talk or if you want to talk about it. And if you're not feeling good, it's okay to not be okay. And it's better to talk about it than to just let it fester and stew inside you. And that's what Gotcha for Life do. And they are an amazing charity. And it's one that we are very happy to support right here on WrestleRadio Australia. To send us out, Promoland. And it is one from my local promotion, AWA. Because these two guys, Outback Adam and Combat Wombat, are just quietly on the download. One of my favorite promos to watch and have favorite promos to listen to. Combat Wombat is just an amazing character. I love the guy and I love this promo. Next week, our guest will be Rob Barnes, who spent a lot of time over in Texas with Booker T's Reality of Wrestling Federation. And now he's moved back. He was in Australia before and worked for years in Australia and then decided to go over there to learn and end up staying over there for a couple of years with Booker T. And he comes on the show to talk about him being back in Australia and ready to take bookings and ready to really get stuck into this exploding Australian scene. And we will check you next week right here on WrestleRadio Australia. I've been Todd Eastman.
Outback Adam doing outback things. He's bringing it back to the start. He loves animals with all his heart. You best beware. Beware of the signs. Because of the fire he will leave behind. Outback Adam, he's from the bush. Outback Adam, he's got a nice tush. He's Outback Adam doing outback things. Yeah!
Yeah, g'day Adam.
How's it going, mate?
Oh, yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah, me and Sarge, we just wanted to bring you here, mate, have a bit of a talk to you.
Yeah, sure, mate.
Yeah, about the match coming up. We got a match this Friday at Mayhem. What's that? Oh, good point. Yeah, good point. Mayhem, and it's in May. Oh, that's a good one. You get it?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
I thought you would. Yeah. Anyway, we want to talk about that, and also the previous match, Friday night thing. Thank goodness it's Friday or whatever that swear word they put in there. But anyway, yeah, about the Friday night one. Yeah, about that. How did you think we went?
I thought we went pretty good, mate.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing fantastic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Even though Jesse tried to steal my croc towards the end, I got it back. All's good.
Well, it isn't all good. I see. It's great that you're, you know, looking after the animals and that, and me and Sarge, well, we appreciate that. And the thing is, we're there for a wrestling match. So priorities is to win the wrestling match, help your tag team partner out, chase after a crocodile. What?
I think I hear a bee in trouble. Better go save it!
Oh boy. Yeah, I know. You tell me about it.